Padipajakacharya, Asatarasa, Dushushiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Sadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopal Gopinath Shamakul, Radhakul, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Go Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the Prabhupada. To the Prabhupada Ki Jai. Reading today from the first canto, we're on the, you know, relatively beginning a new chapter, the disappearance of Lord Krishna. That's chapter 14. We're on text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Utirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the personality of Godhead, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead is established as an irrevocable fact, meaning that it can never be taken away from us. Whatever little advancement, whatever little service that we've done, the credits that go to that spiritual bank account, never gets lost. Might get a little, you know, whatever. There might be some difficulties or whatever, but the advancement or the endeavor is never lost. Hare Krishna. So we're on text 9, but I just need to say one thing over the airways, a special message. M, we need longer strings on the kartals. I've been trying to tell her that for days, but I keep forgetting. She'll get the message. Okay. They need to be twice as long. They're way too short. Okay, we're on text 9. Yasmana sampada rajam. Yasmana sampada rajam. Dara prana kulam praja. Dara prana kulam praja. Asan sapna. Asan sapatna vijayo. Asan sapatna vijayo. Lokas chad yad anugrahat. Lokas chayad anugrahat. Yasmina sampado rajam. Dara prana kulam praja. Asan sapatna vijayo. Lokas cha yad anugrahat. Please chant. Yasman asampado rajam. Dara prana kulam praja. Asan sampatna vijayo. Lokas chayad anugrahat. Yasmana sampado rajan. Dara prana kulam praja. Asan sampatna vijayo. Lokas chayad anugraha. Yasmana sampada rajam. Dara prana kulam praja. Asan sampatna vijayo. Lokas chayad anugraha. Yasmana sampado rajam. Dara prana kulam praja. Asan sampatna vijayo. Lokas chayad anugraha. Yasmana sampado rajam. Dara prana kulam praja. Asan sampatna vijayo. Lokas chayad anugraha. Yasmat. From whom? Na. Our. Sampada. Opulence. Rajam. Kingdom. Dara. Good wives. Prana. Existence of life. Kulam, dynasty. Praja, subjects. Asan, have become possible. Sapatna, competitors. Vijaya, conquering. Loka, future accommodation in higher planets. Cha, and. Yat, by whose? Anugrahat, by the mercy of. So this is this translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is Maharaj Yudhisthira speaking. And just as a reminder, since we're just starting the chapter, Maharaj Yudhisthira's noticed some anomalies in the course of time. And he's discussing with Bhimasena, his younger brother, about these anomalies, and he's thinking, what do they mean? What's going on? There's been classes on different ill omens, and there'll be future classes on the different discrepancies that he's seeing, and he's wondering, why hasn't he heard from Arjuna? Why hasn't Arjuna? He sent Arjuna to Dwarka to find out what Krishna's next plan of action was, but it's been 7 months, and he hasn't heard from him, so he's concerned. So here he's speaking with Maharaj Yudhisthira. No, he's speaking with Bhishma, and Bhima, thank you, Bhima. And he just in the previous verse was thinking, maybe Lord Krishna has left the planet. Maybe that time has come. He can barely say it because he can barely consider what's going to happen if that's actually the case. So here's the translation to today's verse. From him only all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us. So just going back a couple of verses. This is staying what I was just saying. Text 6. Maharaj Yudhisthira said to his younger brother Bhima saying, I've sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna his program of work. Since he has departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned, and I do not factually know how things are going there. Is he going to quit his earthly pastimes, as Devarshi Narda indicated? Has that time already arrived? And then today's verse in perspective is, from him only all our kingly opulences, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us. Om Agnati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chapsu Urunditam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Totally indebted to him, and beg for service life after life. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. Material prosperity consists of a good wife, good home, sufficient land, good children, aristocratic family relations, victory over competitors, and by pious work, attainment of accommodations in the higher celestial planets for the better facilities of material amenities. These facilities are earned not only by one's hard manual labor or by unfair means, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So that's the factor that most people don't understand. In today's materialistic society, these things that were mentioned, a good wife, good home, good progeny, nice relatives, nice job, nice accommodations, a comfortable life, those are all things that are aspired for by the general mass of people. And their endeavor, their thinking is, by their own endeavor, they're thinking they're achieving these things. So we'll talk about that in a bit. I'll try to finish the purport before I start talking too much. Hare Krishna. These facilities are earned not only by one's hard manual labor or by unfair means, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Prosperity earned by one's personal endeavor also depends on the mercy of the Lord. Personal labor must be there in addition to the Lord's benediction, but without the Lord's benediction, no one is successful simply by personal labor. The modernized man of Kali Yuga believes in personal endeavor and denies the benediction of the Supreme Lord. Even a great sannyasi of India delivered speeches in Chicago protesting the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. But as far as Vedic Shastra are concerned, as we find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate sanction for all success rests in the hands of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Yudhisthira admits this truth in his personal success, and it behooves one to follow in the footsteps of a great king and devotee of the Lord to make life a full success. If one could achieve success without the sanction of the Lord, then no medical practitioner would fail to cure a patient. Despite the most advanced treatment of a suffering patient by the most up-to-date medical practitioner, there's death. And even in the most hopeless case, without medical treatment, a patient is cured astonishingly. Therefore, the conclusion is that God's sanction is the immediate cause for all happenings, good or bad. Any successful man should feel grateful to the Lord for all he has achieved. So this point in this purport, and this point in this section, that all benedictions and mercy come to us by the grace of the Lord, is a very, very important point for us to imbibe in our lives. So what Maharaj Yudhisthira mentioned in the verse itself, all of those material opulences are to accommodate one in the material world. But an intelligent person will understand that even if I got all of those things, still those benedictions are temporary. So what's the sense? And that's what Prabhupada's going behind that. So Bhagavad Gita explains, for the most part, people are thinking it's by my endeavor I'm achieving success. But Bhagavad Gita explains, so that's a very unintelligent way to look at things, because a learned person understands that there are five factors in the action, in any action, five factors in action. You want to remember some of them? What are some of the five factors in any action? You have to say it a little clearer, because it's hard when it gets muffled through your mouth. The living entity, okay. The place, the endeavor, thanks Sri Devi.
The Lord.
The Lord. Yeah, that's the last one. The Lord, the performer, the senses, the place, the performer, the senses, the endeavor, and the super soul. That's the most important factor, because without that mercy, as explained here, the mercy of the Lord, no one's going to achieve success no matter how hard they try. And we see those apparent discrepancies in life. You see many people endeavoring very, very strenuously for whatever, to achieve whatever their goal is, whether it's material success or this or that, whatever their specific goal is, they're endeavoring. And some people achieve it without a huge endeavor, and some people, even after so much endeavor, they're not achieving it, because people are not understanding or giving credit to or acknowledging the presence, the sanction, and what? The mercy, anugraha. Here the word is anugraha, mercy, the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy. So Maharaj Yudhisthira, it appears that he's glorifying all of these activities, but actually he's not glorifying, you know, having a good wife or per se, or an opulent kingdom per se. But what he's glorifying is these are all given to us by the sanction, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And he has his personal, there's the Lord there present on the planet at the time that he's speaking this. He has his personal familial relationship with the Lord, but he is also appreciating his position as the Supreme Lord. He's also appreciating his position like that, and grateful. He's grateful. He's grateful for the mercy that the Lord has given him. In the third chapter of the Gita, in text 27, Prakrite Kriyamanani Guna Karmani Sarvasa Ahankara Vimudhatma, not even just a mudha, but a Vimudhatma Kartaham Iti Manyante, a bewildered spirit soul, a bewildered person, who is what? Who is under the influence of those three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer. It's by my endeavor. But these things are actually carried out by material nature, and behind material nature, Bhagavad Gita is explaining, who's the controller of the three modes of material nature and not affected by the modes of material nature? That is the Supreme Lord. So recognizing the hand of the Lord in our lives, that's an art. That's an art that needs to be cultivated by all aspiring practitioners of bhakti yoga, to try to see the Lord's kind hand in our life. And as we go through our daily sojourn of life with its inevitable ups and downs, its inevitable trials and tribulations, and its inevitable successes in life, to see the Lord's kindness in through all of those things, it takes practice. It definitely takes practice. And another thing that I'm going to put in there, it takes patience. It takes patience because it's not always easy to see in the beginning stages, especially when it's on anxiety or, when there's anxiety in life. It's hard to see that this is happening by the kind mercy of the Lord. But if we practice to see that, one of the ways that we can practice to see that is by hearing. We have to hear, we have to hear, we have to be reminded every day how everything actually is arranged by the Supreme Lord, and especially for a devotee, especially for an aspiring devotee. We might not be Prahlad Maharaj, we might not be any great level of devotee, but it doesn't matter, because we've come through the threshold, just entering the door, the house of bhakti, because we're attempting to enter the house of bhakti. And what would normally be exchanged in relation to our endeavor, tit for tat, do you deserve it, you'll get it, do you not deserve it, you won't get it, tit for tat type of thing with the modes of material nature for one's karma. For someone who's not interested or aspiring to become a devotee of the Lord, they're getting their reactions from their past fruitive activities to what they deserve. But for one who's tried to enter the house of bhakti, has come into the house of bhakti and is attempting to make progress in bhakti, the situation is completely different, as explained in many of Prabhupada's books, but especially in Nectar of Devotion. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's mentioned that just by even saying one time, "My dear Lord, from this day on, I am yours." My dear Lord, from this day on, I am yours. You know, just one time, the Lord becomes so pleased by that endeavor that he never forgets his devotee. He'll never forget you, and he'll always be manipulating things, because he's the supreme manipulator, for our benefit. So our karma, our past activities, get a custom shaping, and they're meant for our spiritual progress. They're not necessarily meant, and sometimes we confuse this fact, they're not necessarily meant for our comfortable living in the material world so we can comfortably execute bhakti yoga and comfortably go back home, back to Godhead. That may happen, but it's pretty rare. But it's meant for us to cultivate the strength and develop the qualities and the shastra chakshus, the eyes, so we can see things through the eyes of scripture and see that this difficult situation is custom fit for me. It's just what I need to go through right now. Please, Lord, give me the intelligence to execute or pass through it nicely. So one thing I was noting about the tone of Maharaj Yudhisthira's gratitude and recognizing the Lord's kind hand in his life through all his trials and tribulations, and goodness knows, we know that they had way more severe trials and way more numerous tribulations than any one of us will probably ever have in this life or even in many lives. Their tests and trials and tribulations were constant and huge. Anyway, but through his tone, I was seeing how he, the symptoms of surrender. That's also mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the six symptoms of surrender. That to accept everything favorable for execution of devotional service. I was looking up these six symptoms of surrender last night, and this one quote comes from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And in Nectar of Devotion, it's stated in a certain way. Chaitanya Charitamrita stated in a certain way. But I love it when there's little nuances
when Prabhupada puts little nuances to it. So in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there's a few little nuances. So Prabhupada says, to accept everything favorable and be determined to accept the process. Be determined to accept the process of devotional service. Not only we have to accept the favorable things, but we have to have a determination to accept the process of devotional service. They could give a whole sidetrack class, which I'm very good at getting sidetracked. But, you know, what is the process of devotional service? Hearing is very, very important. Hearing, chanting, very important, but hearing. So we have to try to mold our lives in such a way that our hearing can be increased. And not only hearing, but the quality of our hearing. Because we can hear so many things and not remember very many of them. But if the quality of our hearing is, if we're eager, then you have a tendency more to remember, or more of a chance to remember. Anyway, so the second one is giving up. So it's anukulyasya something. Sankhada. Sankalpa. Thanks. Pratikulyasya varjanam. Rakshishati vishvaso goptritve varanam tata. Atma nikshepa karpanye sad vidha saranagati. So that was anukulyasya. Things that are favorable. And pratikul is give up everything unfavorable and the little nuance. Be determined to give it all up. We hold on to a few things, if you've noticed. If you do a little bit of introspection, we're holding on to a few things. Some of them loosely and some of them very tightly. So give up everything that's not favorable to the execution of devotional service and be determined to give it all up. The third one is to be convinced that only Krishna can protect us and have full faith that he will protect us. So this is what Maharaj Yudhisthira is mentioning here. He's not saying, oh, we got this good progeny, we got this nice kingdom by the mercy of the demigods because they were favorable to us. No, he goes right to the source. Because Krishna is merciful to us, we're getting these things. Only he can protect us, and he will. The next thing is to accept Krishna as our maintainer. And it means not to go to the demigods. Here, that nuance is there. That we don't go to any other source or think anyone else is our maintainer. No, Krishna's our maintainer. Someone might apparently be our maintainer, our boss, or this or that, or perhaps you get a big inheritance, or whatever. Things like that do happen every now and then. And so you might think, oh, this is the mercy of my parents, or this is my boss's mercy, I just got this raise or whatever. But ultimately, it's all because of Krishna. Krishna is the maintainer, and he's providing all of those things. And also, another symptom of surrender is that a devotee is convinced that he's not independent in fulfilling his desires. Unless Krishna fulfills those desires, unless Krishna approves of them, unless Krishna consents and says this will be beneficial to their progress, it won't happen. So we have to understand that we're not independent. And this is exactly what Maharaj Yudhisthira is saying here. I have all of these so-called opulences of material life, but not by my endeavor, but by Krishna's mercy. That's atma nikshepa, or self-surrender. And the last one is that one should always think oneself as most fallen, so that Krishna will, and that Krishna will take care of him. That's karpanye. That I'm very fallen, and because that's Krishna's viraras. He likes to exemplify that heroic mood of saving the fallen souls. And Maharaj Yudhisthira seeing that and appreciating that. The word in the Sanskrit, anugrahat, by the mercy of, is also, you can use the word kritagya. Krishna is very grateful. He's very grateful for whatever small endeavor the devotee, the practitioner makes, his devotee, his aspiring devotee, whatever small endeavor they make for progress in devotional life or for coming closer to Him or for developing their relationship for Him, Krishna's supremely kritagya, very grateful, supremely. And He's so grateful that even it traverses the lifetime. It's not just this lifetime that He's grateful for the activities. Just like in classic example, Putana's situation, Putana's story. She, in her previous life, in the when Vamanadeva appeared in the arena of Bali Maharaj, she was attracted to his beauty and immediately said, "If I had a son like that, I would be so happy." And then, when the situation worked out that Vamanadeva stole everything from Bali Maharaj just for his good, actually. She had a different reaction. "Oh, if I had a son like that, I'd kill him." So that was her. That was how many millions of years before then, when Krishna comes in his form of Krishna in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and she's employed as a servant of Kamsa to kill all the children. When she comes to him, Krishna remembers. She came, and he's grateful for her approach like a mother. He appreciated in that lifetime, she approached him like a mother to give breast milk. That's what he saw. He didn't see the second half of the sentence, that I want to kill him. He only saw the first half, and he took that, and he took care of her. He took care of her. And it might have seemed like, oh no, he killed her, how horrible. And her relatives thought, oh, how horrible, he killed her. But for the devotees, we're seeing, oh, he elevated her to a position so much, you know, with so much love in the spiritual world, where she will be able to fulfill that desire and act as a mother, like a mother to Krishna. So we can take that, you know, you can say the story, yeah, Putana got saved and everything. But then think about that. So how that might apply to our life right now. So there might be various difficulties or various challenges that seem insurmountable to us. And it might seem that we're hard-pressed under the in the grinding stone of Krishna, you know, grinding up our karma, grinding up our bad qualities, grinding up our hopes for enjoyment in the material world, grinding up our health, grinding up, you know, you can go on and on. But, and it might seem like that's what's happening and it's intolerable, and there might be a little bit of feeling of that it's not fair. I've been surrendering to Krishna for 50 years now. How come this is happening to me now? Well, hard ball. Anyway, it's the purifying process, and ultimately that the good will come out from that. Ultimately, perhaps not while the grinding stone is squishing us and squishing our ego, we might not see it so clearly, but particularly hindsight is really good in those things. So it's really good to look behind and see how we've come through things. And also, while we're going through our trials and tribulations, just like Maharaj Yudhisthira, how many huge, tremendous trials and tribulations they went through. And yet, he was obviously praying to Krishna through that whole time. Please give me shelter of your lotus feet. Please give me the shelter of your lotus feet. So this is what some things to think about in this circumstance. And for us to try to revisit the process of surrender. How am I surrendering to the different situations? And the thing is oftentimes we're given tests and different circumstances, and perhaps we might appear to fail the test, appear to react in a way that's totally not appropriate, which I do a lot. But don't worry, Krishna will give you another chance, and another chance, and another chance, until the heart becomes purified and we become strong in our devotion, and we'll be able to apply these things quite appropriately. So Prabhupada also mentions in this purport about a great sannyasi in India, from India, who delivered speeches in Chicago. So and he's referring to Vivekananda. And so I've heard Prabhupada make reference to this speech of Vivekananda in Chicago a few times, but I've never investigated this speech. So last night I spent a few minutes investigating Vivekananda's speech in Chicago in 1893, if I remember correctly. What one? Just like I said, 1896. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thanks, Guru. Yeah. At least I had the right century. 1896 in a religious convention in Chicago. And he stood up and he started his speech, "My dear brothers and sisters." And just that part of the speech alone, everybody stood up and gave him a standing ovation for 2 minutes. And he had to wait for everything to calm down to continue on. Interesting, isn't it? You know? And so in the course of his speech, I was surprised and impressed that he gave an example of the frog in the well, at least according to Wikipedia, okay? So that's my source of information. If it's wrong, Bible. He gave the example of the frog in the well, but how he was using it in that, in terms of his speech there, he was comparing that the different religious philosophers and philosophies and religious sects were like different frogs in wells, like a Christian frog in a Christian well, and a Jewish frog is in the Jewish well thinking my religion is the all in all, and the other one's thinking my religion is the all in all, my religion is the best. Anyway, I thought, oh yeah, we know that example, the frog in the well. We know it in a little different way, but still. But then the little part that I read that I could understand would have agitated Srila Prabhupada's mind and his love for Krishna was that he began to criticize the Christians for coming to India, for trying to convert the villagers to Christianity, when actually they didn't need more religion, they actually just needed bread. And I'm thinking that's probably why, one of the reasons why Prabhupada was criticizing him, you know, that he was missing a major point, that they actually needed material welfare activities and you guys just came to convert them into another religious philosophy, when actually you didn't do anything for their needs of being, because they were starving. So it's just interesting to see perspectives, and we're so fortunate. And I didn't read any further than that because I didn't want to. But it's interesting to see the perspective that different people can carry, and then be what? Anugraha, grateful for the opportunity that we have, that Srila Prabhupada's given us this bhakti perspective, you know, through the parampara system, this bhakti perspective that gives solid philosophy, solid answers, solid practical application onto how to see the Lord's kind hand in all of our activities, and mold our life in such a way to benefit by that. So, any comments or discussion? Prabhu. No, next to Sri Devi. It's not Nataka, it's Narataka, thank you. I'm just slow, I'm sorry. Thank you, Narataka, please forgive me.
Thank you for the class. That point where they didn't need more religion, they just needed something, they needed food. And, but Prabhupada made right in the beginning of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita in the purport, Prabhupada makes a very profound statement about compassion. He said that material, compassion, lamentation, and tears are all signs of ignorance of the real self. And then he said this, which is very heavy. He said, compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization.
Thanks.
Means even like I'm thinking, you know, in terms of like these people, all these people died in Miami in the building. And, you know, of course, I mean, you know, we would, if we're talking to the family members, we express, I'm very sorry for your loss, etc. But what they really need, real compassion, is to explain to them self-realization. Actually, your wife, you know, this, her soul was not slain when the body was slain. You know,
yeah,
the eternality of the soul, that's real compassion.
That's real compassion. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, and to learn how the art, how to do that is quite amazing. It's quite necessary for all of us. And that's the real solution. Otherwise, it's just a patchwork. It's not really the solution. Sri Deviji?
Well, I was thinking like one reason that Prabhupada was so down on Vivekananda was because he was like a Mayavadi, and essentially they don't have devotion to God. Essentially, they're not religious at all.
Right.
They're atheists.
Right. Right.
So here he is like posing as like a great, you know, spiritual leader, but actually their philosophy is like covered atheism.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes when Prabhupada discusses that very point, that it's covered atheism, he says an atheist is better because they're honest. Whereas a covered atheist proclaiming about whatever absolute or this or that, it's more insidious, it's more dangerous. Yeah, good point. And that's quite obvious by the fact that he's saying they don't need more religion, they need more bread. You know, covered, atheistic, yeah. Other comments or questions or corrections? Thanks. Yes.
Very nice class, thank you. Nanda, when good things happen to us, we say, you know, we remember Krishna. When bad things happen, we say, oh, our bad karma. So how do we see that it's Krishna's will? It's purifying us, we understand. But is there something deeper that we can get from a situation?
One of my points was, is that we need to practice. You need to practice because conditioned life, which we've experienced for millions of births, makes us think in a certain way, that by my endeavor the good things are happening and by somebody else's fault the bad things are happening. So it takes a practice to understand everything is by the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Everything is by His mercy. So it takes practice. I mean, and it might not come immediately. Just like our reaction to difficult situations might not be, our immediate reaction might not be, oh, I deserve this, I deserve worse, like Lord Brahma, I deserve worse, but let me offer my obeisances to the Lord and my respects. That might not be our first reaction, but, you know, if we're training ourselves to keep hearing this philosophy, sooner or later you're going to be reminded exactly of that, exactly. And I'm sure you've had the experience, perhaps in the past or in the near, yeah, in the recent past, that if you have a question or difficulty or some anxiety and you're reading Prabhupada's books, oftentimes you see the answer or a clue what to do right there in the purport. Oftentimes when we're reading in a group, we have a question and we kind of figure out or try to say an answer, and then we go on reading again, and then two more purports later it's clarified, you know. So that's because the Bhagavatam is living scriptures. It's living. And you'll read that same section in a few years and there'll be something else you'll be able to glean from it, because it's ever increasing. So it's a practice, and that's why we stay in the association of devotees, because they're very expert in reminding us of different things, sometimes even when we don't want to hear it. And and we stay in that, we try to make that our environment favorable to be able to hear. So we're hearing lectures, we're hearing from the devotees, we're seeing the deities, and the inspirational come like that in practice. And we reveal our minds, that's another thing, reveal the mind in confidence and inquire confidentially, how can I get over this? How should I be reacting? What should I be doing? What am I doing wrong? Whatever. And then we're reminded again of those things. That's unless other people would like to add to that? Would you like to add to that? Just asking. Anything else right now? Yes, Prabhu.
In the first part of the purport, where Prabhupada is saying that we have to understand that it's not just our hard work, but it's the mercy of the Lord that gives these good things. He says something that I didn't understand. He says, or by unfair means. You know, either by our hard work or by our unfair means that we get good results.
Yeah. So I what I understood from that was sometimes people endeavor by honest means to accumulate wealth, and sometimes people endeavor by unfair means, you know, like cheating people, selling them something for this price, but it's not, you know, 10 million different cheating processes. So, but let's just say by some cheating or unfair means, someone is accumulating wealth, and we're thinking, oh, that's by my endeavor, I'm accumulating wealth. Well, it's being sanctioned by the Lord. You know, it's being sanctioned up to a certain point, it's being sanctioned, but the reaction is going to be there from the Lord's side. Does that help? You still have a quizzical look in your eyes.
It just seems like, so you're saying that they are going to get good results, although they cheated to earn all this money in their...
They're going to get good results temporarily. You know, if you consider, if good results means money, yeah. The drug dealer is going to get good results by selling his drugs on the street or however they do it these days. I'm a little out of it. But, you know, he's going to get, quote, if that's what he considers good result, he's going to get that money until he gets the knock at the door or the FBI or whatever, or shot at by the competitive drug dealer, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So he will get, but that's, so Prabhupada's kind of referring to there in material terms, you know, that section. You know, they might think that, so that person is thinking, oh, because I'm so smart and I have so many contacts, therefore I can gain so much money through legal means or illegal means or fair or unfair. And because money or this or that is my goal, I'm getting my goal, and therefore I'm the doer and I'm responsible for that. And they're forgetting the factor, because if there's no sanction by the Lord, then whatever is not going to happen. It's not going to happen, you know. Or again, like you said, it might happen. They might gain something and then have it stolen away right away, and not get it. So all of that's by the sanction of the Lord. And sometimes it's like when catastrophes happen or something, you know, like floods and hundreds of people lose their life by a flood in a certain town or this or that, or, you know, tornadoes or whatever, or building collapse. It might seem hard to understand. How is it? It just seems unfair. But somehow or other, by the supreme arrangement of the Lord and by the activities of the modes of material nature, people who, and it sounds a little harsh, but people who have deserved that certain fate are all accumulated in one place and then moved on to another body in a certain way. Just like, this just flashed into my mind, just like, that's why Krishna didn't kill Jarasandha when Jarasandha came with his 23 Akshahini divisions of soldiers, because he gathered up all these demoniac armies, you know, and bellicose forces, and Krishna just, you know, could annihilate them quite easily. He didn't have to exert himself, which he doesn't have to do anyway, but anyway, he didn't have to exert himself very much because they all came to him. He said, if I let him go, he's going to gather up some more and they're all going to come to me, so I'm just going to sit here and let him do that. So it one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, you know, 18 times. You know, that was Krishna's plan, but somehow or other he accomplished a lot by that. And they all got higher destinations. Amazing. See, you see the external situation and think it's terrible, but what the real result is, you know, not always quite evident. Yes, Guru Prasad, one more comment and then we'll stop. Thank you.
You also notice that when people do something, I was thinking of Murgari the hunter, that when he became purified, he was so, he was full of so much compassion. So sometimes when people have become purified, they're doing something or they've gained something unfavorably or unfairly, then when they do become purified,
yeah,
and they give everything away, they just cannot, they overcompensate for whatever they have done.
Yeah.
So,
Jagai and Madhai too, you know, he was so repentant that he wanted to do.
So there's like both, you know, you can become purified, all these ungained things, if you can.
Thank you. Thank you very kindly. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, all glories to Radha Shyam, Ki Jai.